everyone. Welcome to episode number 108 of the Frontside Podcast. I'm Robert DeLuca, the president here at Frontside, and I'll be your episode host. Today, we're going to be discussing BikeConf, which is an online streamed conference with Christian Freeman. Christian is a developer at Product Hunt. With me today as co-host is Will Wilsman, who is a software developer here at the Frontside. Before we jump into the discussion, I would like to make a little announcement. I'm going to be speaking at BikeConf and JSConf about big tests. So if you're interested in hearing about the next generation of UI testing for single page apps, you're going to want to check that one out, I think. Without further ado, let's just jump into it. Hey, Christian, how you doing?
Hey, yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you recently just moved to Austin and you moved from LA. How's that been going?
It's actually going really good. Yeah, we packed all our stuff up and drove all the way across the U.S. It was I guess that's not really across the whole U.S., but yeah, it was a good move. I've been here for about 2 weeks or so, and really happy with it so far. I have a full office and recording space now, so it's like glorious. I can actually like sprawl out and have mics and all kinds of other gear out. I'm very excited.
Nice. What is it you do at Product Hunt?
I'm a software developer there, kind of full stack engineer. So Product Hunt is architected as basically a Rails app in the back end and then a React app in the front end. So I'm doing like React, obviously, and GraphQL stuff, and then Rails on the back end. Yeah, it's been really cool. It's a really neat product, and there's a really cool community there as well. So I've been very happy with the transition there. I've been there for since the beginning of the year, so February or so.
Cool. That's awesome. Are those projects split? So like, is the React app separate from their Rails app, or is it like a monolith?
So yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure if it's planned to be split up eventually, but as it stands right now, it's actually all one big application. We just have kind of that classic front end folder where everything is kind of dropped in that's React related, and we have some interesting stuff around like server side rendering and things like that. All of that stuff was kind of there before I started working at Product Hunt, but it's been really interesting coming from my previous gig where it was just very, you know, straightforward Ruby on Rails and then React like as a totally separate thing. Like they weren't really related at all. I was working on a couple different projects.
Gotcha.
Coming to this has been really interesting. It's kind of given me a better sense of like what Rails projects might look like in 2018, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So are you using the Webpacker gem?
I don't. So not old really in terms of like, like web projects overall, but in terms of like a Rails app, we're still running on older versions. So I think we're pretty like homegrown. Gotcha. Setup. We're not using Webpacker.
Right.
We kind of set things up and run them as like two different processes and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been really interesting. There was a bit of kind of onboarding stuff that it took me a while because I've come from like, right, I came from just doing, like I said, like really kind of standard Rails stuff. And I would say that they're really kind of pushing like what you can do with kind of a half Rails, half React setup. So there's a bit of a time of me kind of flailing around and figuring out what was going on. But yeah, it's been really cool. I definitely feel like I leveled up in my understanding of how all that stuff can fit together over the last couple months or so.
Well, that's awesome. So you're running a conference, right? So you're running a online only conference that's free and streamed on Twitch. That's a pretty bold thing, right? Like that's a new concept. How did that come together? And I guess before we even discuss that, what is BikeConf?
Sure. Yeah. So I'll start with kind of the synopsis of what it is, and then I can talk a little bit about history. So it's actually a conference series. I have other events planned, and the first of those is BikeConf React, which Robert is speaking at. So it's a React and JavaScript conference that is streamed on Twitch. So if listeners aren't familiar with Twitch, it's a live streaming platform. Kind of the primary use for it is for gaming. So there's a lot of people who will stream themselves playing like Fortnite or whatever other things. I usually just watch
Fortnite.
Yeah. So it is, primarily for gaming. And in the last couple of years, they've started doing kind of this separate section called like the creative section, where there is kind of non-gaming stuff. So I've watched people like paint. I've watched people play guitar, take like song requests on the stream and stuff like that, all kinds of interesting stuff. And what I can say is the idea for the conference is not actually, it wasn't like a thing that I just came up with on the spot. I actually attended a really small conference that was streamed on Twitch. It was a game development conference. I wish I could remember what it was called, but it was, yeah, it was really interesting. It was and there wasn't too many people in the stream, but I was impressed with the way that it was put together, especially for a topic like game development, which is, I would say, I mean, I kind of took a stab at it last year, and I found it to be pretty, like, difficult to get into and like, fairly opaque in terms of, like, understanding how to, like, get started and then make that progression into, like, a career. So I watched it and I enjoyed the format of the conference, but I didn't really get, like, I didn't learn too much from it because it was just too kind of complicated, I think, unless you already were in the field. Right. So I started thinking about, like, I thought it was a really interesting model, and I felt like web development in particular would be a really neat way to approach that format because, like, web development has, I think, a reputation if you want to get into programming. It's, I don't know if I would say entirely approachable, right? There's still a learning curve, and there is a lot of work that you have to put into it to get like a junior dev role somewhere. But I thought it was really interesting. I thought it would be interesting to take that format and apply it. And I had been, you know, my background, besides doing just kind of straightforward full stack engineering, I've done some courses for Pluralsight. I've done some training, like in-person technical training. So I had kind of a background in teaching, and I felt like it would be an interesting, you know, just to try it and see what would happen. And so far, like, we're, you know, a couple weeks out from the conference, and it's honestly been pretty wild how many people are excited about the conference. I don't think I've ever done a project like on my own, kind of like a side project, that has had people like just kind of tweeting about it, just like without me prompting it or anything like that. I saw something on YouTube today of some, it's like a Spanish YouTuber who does like tech news, and he was talking about the conference, and I don't know Spanish. So I was you know, curious and wanted to see what he's talking about, but I couldn't really understand what he was saying, but I saw the logo and I was like, wow, this is crazy. So I'm really excited about it, and I think, and I'm sure we'll kind of get into this, but there's some really interesting kind of implications and ways that this format, I think, will be a different approach to kind of the usual tech conference format. So yeah, I'm really excited about it. And I think it's going to be really neat.
It's awesome that it's free and available for anybody at any time.
Right. Yeah. And a part of that, I think, when I started thinking about, like, can I make it free? Like, what are the implications of that? And I think, like, the main thing is that when it comes to running a conference, like getting the event, the, you know, like the location or whatever, I would say is probably by far the most expensive component of that. And for me, like, I'm a remote developer, and there's a lot of people that I talk to day to day. I think a lot of kind of my audience and like people that I know online are also working remotely.
Always
so,
connected.
So it wasn't really like for the conference to just be online wasn't too crazy of an idea for me, because like most of the interactions I've done in development, stuff like that, have been through the context of remote work. But it also has, you know, for people who aren't remote workers, who are like getting into the field or even just have like a small interest in web development, I think it removes some barriers of being able to access this kind of stuff. So I would hope, you know, we can look back in the future and say it was like kind of this sounds very ambitious, but like kind of a democratizing force of like anyone can view this content and get access to it regardless of like their skill level or, you know, economic level or things like that.
So I know I frequent Twitch sometimes, and I know this is obviously a free conference, but are you expecting like any donations or?
Yeah, that's a good question. So that's kind of one of those things I haven't really figured out the best way to do yet. So like in Twitch, I think there's like the concept, is it like bits? Is that what they're called? They're like,
I think so.
Like,
yeah.
Micro donations. I genuinely don't know how that's going to work out. I know like, the plan is to kind of take the talks after the fact and get any kind of additional, like the slides and stuff like that. We're doing a couple of like pre-conference events that I can talk about. I guess I should plug those as well before we wrap up. But the way that that's going to work out, I'm not quite sure, because I would like to sell the package like after the fact and actually be able to pay the speakers. But in terms of the little like bits and stuff like that, I'm not actually sure. I'm genuinely curious how that's going to work out. I don't know if people will do that, or I guess it just kind of depends on the audience.
I'm going to list it in my talk now.
Yeah, give me bits, please.
10 bits or I don't move to the next slide.
Yeah, I use Twitch every once in a while. Like I said, I generally just watch like one game on Twitch, but I'm not really a like full, like I don't watch Twitch all day every day. So I think it'll be interesting to see like what, because this is probably a different audience than say the average Twitch user. It'll be really interesting to see how that shakes out. I don't really have a great answer for you there.
Do you have like any guess on like the number of people that are going to be attending? I see on the ByteConf site there are like 1,500 subscribers.
Yeah, it's a good question. We're going to do, I guess I can talk about the stuff we have planned before the conference. So, I mean, we've been building an audience for, it really hasn't been that long. It's been like 4 or 5 months since I announced it. Yeah, so we're using, or kind of dog fooding a thing that I've worked on at Project Hunt, which is this ship product, which is like for collecting emails and sending out newsletters, stuff like that.
I saw that get announced not too long ago.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm really happy with the product, and they have some kind of built-in promotional tools on the site, which is pretty neat. But we have, I think, like 1,500 people on the mailing list. I think we have, last I checked, about like 4,200 followers on Twitter. So it's hard to kind of convert that, you know, like how many people are actually going to attend. Mm-hmm. So what we are doing, and this is, you know, like A, because I think it'd be interesting, and B, to kind of gauge this, hopefully as best we can, we're going to be doing some pre-conference, like Ask Me Anything interviews with some of the speakers. And I'm hoping I can get a better sense of like how many people will, you know, actually start attending any of the events that happen. The way that Twitch works is you can like follow and subscribe. So you'll get a notification when a channel goes live. So yeah, this will be like the first time that we go live will be tomorrow actually. And so we'll see how many people turn out. It should be interesting. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like actual numbers, I genuinely am not sure. And I would hope that a lot of people who are on the mailing list will be there, but it's been pretty neat. You know, I've already been hearing about people who are trying to set up like in-person events, like viewing parties and stuff like that. And I've tried to kind of help coordinate that as best I can without it taking over the like, you know, limited amount of time I have before the conference actually happens. And also people like in Europe in vastly different time zones, like really actually kind of grilling me about like, when can I watch this? Like, will you do a rebroadcast so I can actually attend this? Because I don't want to see the conference at 2 a.m. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I understand that. So yeah, we're kind of figuring out those details as well. Like I said, I very much consider this like the MVP of a longer term, like event series. Yeah. So I'm excited. I think we'll end up building something that a lot of people will attend multiple times, and hopefully we can kind of expose people to new stuff as that happens.
Yeah. So you mentioned somebody in Europe like wanting to know, hey, when can I watch this? Which actually makes me wonder, like, that's one of the unique challenges that you have for an online only conference, right? Because like no one's going to be asking that question if the conference is in, I don't know, LA, right? Everybody knows where it's going to be because it's all co-located. So like, what are some other unique challenges that come with running an online conference?
Right. Yeah. And that's a great question. We don't have the like explicit location and time that it starts to kind of point people to. So in some ways, that's a positive thing. We have a lot of people who can attend that normally wouldn't be able to. They're kind of excluded by price or location or stuff like that. But there are some things that you, I think, kind of give up when you do that format instead, when you do the online format instead. One of those is like just kind of the, you know, just being there at the conference and kind of running into people that maybe you know, or like having, you know, sponsors with booths set up. You can kind of make a connection in that way. So some of that we're trying to solve by building like an active community. So we have like a Discord server that we started a couple of weeks ago where people are chatting about this kind of stuff. So I really think of it as like, there's probably many ways to solve this problem. And I'm trying a couple of different ways to see like what sticks. So building a community where people can continue to talk, I mean, talk before the conference, obviously they already are doing that. And then like continue after the fact and build the kind of connections and relationships and community that that would maybe happen organically or at least have the chance to happen organically in an actual physical conference. Some of the stuff I genuinely like I'm still trying to figure it out, you know, like how best to give people the sense that they are, you know, welcomed and I guess kind of feel like they're part of like a community of developers. I remember when I started the conference, one of the first things I thought about was when I first went to a conference in San Francisco that Heroku put on. And I remember like being there, I was very, very junior as a developer. And I remember sitting there being like, whoa, this is like probably the first time I've ever been in a room with a bunch of other developers, like of, you know, say like hundreds and hundreds of developers. And it was a really, really interesting. It was one of the first times that I was like, wow, I actually am like for real doing this. This is pretty cool. So I'm trying to figure out, and I imagine we'll iterate on this in the future, like how best to like give people that experience. Yeah. And maybe that means like doing a couple physical ByteConf events. You know, I'm thinking about that definitely, but also like, how do we keep kind of the original idea of the format, but also have people feel like they're part of a community. So it's very much a work in progress.
Yeah, I could see a future where like you had like a physical smaller conference, but you still streamed it on Twitch and everybody could still attend.
Exactly. Yeah, that's I think that's probably the format.
That would be rad.
Okay. Yeah. So like one of the things that I thought would be interesting would be to do like some kind of I was thinking about this before I moved out to Austin, but like doing some kind of a West Coast tour where we go up the West Coast and do events maybe like every couple nights, like really small format. The same kind of conference thing, like have people from that area come and give a talk, but still stream that on Twitch. It's kind of like a hybrid approach that the people who are already part of the community can still attend, but you know, for people who want that physical experience, they can do that as well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And like if you did that, then you wouldn't necessarily lose the hallway track, right? Like that's one of the things that I really love about attending conferences is like the talks are great, but I usually always can find those online afterwards, right? But what I can't find online afterwards is the communication and the talks that I have with people that are there. So that's an interesting challenge to have. Like maybe you could have, I don't know, like I'm just spitballing, not to tell you how or what to do.
But, no, that's fine.
Like maybe like a channel in the Discord for like a hallway track channel or, you know, I don't know, something that like encourages conversation maybe outside of and connections outside of the talks. But I would just say like, maybe that's just one of the trade-offs that you're willing to have for like an online only conference, right? Because like there are a plethora of things that you just shed by not having it at a physical location, like a bunch of cost for one and like AV setup and worrying about people connecting and getting like presenting properly.
Conference Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi. That won't be if it's, they have problems, that'll be their house Wi-Fi. So
yeah, exactly.
I totally agree. I think it's not the worst problem to have because we're in a lot of ways kind of simplifying and there really is, it's the kind of thing that we can iterate on over time. And I have when I was talking about the European like time zone thing, I maybe sounded like I was like, you know, bothered by people, you know, reaching out and like, you know, whatever, like it's actually quite the opposite. Like it's really exciting. And I've actively kind of sought feedback out and been like, you know, how can I do this better? How can I communicate this, you know, this decision or that decision, or like even help me make this decision so that at best, you know, I do whatever works best for the community. And I expect that will, you know, as the community grows, that will just be more and more a factor. And I think that's the kind of thing that talking about like the hallway track or something like that, I'm confident that people will will have opinions on that and like how best, you know, they'll say like, this is what would work for me best to feel like I'm part of this community. And we're going to definitely try those things and iterate on them. It's not the worst problem to have because there is really nowhere to go but up in terms right. of like how we do it well and stuff like that.
Good problems to have.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
All the talks are pre-recorded, right? So what have you done or have you done anything to help support people who haven't recorded a video for like speakers or, you know, what are you doing to kind of ease speakers into this new style?
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting because there are, in terms of the speaker lineup, there's clearly some people who have experience both as conference speakers and also in particular in this format of, you know, like it's basically recording like a screencast, right? Like it's more or less the same thing.
Yeah.
It's slightly different format, maybe condensed to a shorter like hour talk. And there are some people, you know, Kent C. Dodds, Tracy Lee, they both have, there's, you know, two of our keynote speakers, I guess you could say. They have a ton of experience with this. They're pretty much giving talks like regularly all the time. So for them, this is no biggie, you know, but there right. are a couple of people I've tried to, like in terms of once, you know, we got our CFP, our call for papers, we were accepting talk submissions and also getting information about the speakers themselves, you know, like what is your experience with speaking at conferences? Do you have any experience speaking at conferences? And what I thought would be, you know, in the spirit of the conference itself and kind of our like ideals and even I would say like the ethics of how we think about this kind of stuff. I do actually think about it in that term. Like we want to have speakers that represent kind of that same, like, you know, bringing anyone from any experience level and any location and stuff like that, having them be able to right. attend the conference and also speak at the conference. So there's a couple of people that just don't have a ton of experience speaking at conferences or even doing this kind of screencast format. And so for those people, like kind of the silly one is like, I've just been, you know, reaching out to them like, hey, if you need any help on this stuff, like, let me know. I've done this a couple times, at least like the screencast part of it, I have a ton of experience with. And so, you know, if you need help, let me know nice. With that. And then also just like we, you know, if someone needed it, we bought them a mic and a webcam and we sent it to them and be like, you don't need to worry about that because like that's potentially.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Like that can be like an economic kind of thing, like to make people feel like uncomfortable, like, you know, maybe you can't afford like a mic or something like that. Like we will cover you and like no strings attached. So that kind of stuff I think is really important. I think kind of the main thing is like, we just want people to feel comfortable. Like there's no reason that because someone hasn't given talk at a conference before, like there's no reason they can't start, you know, like
right.
everyone has something interesting to say, I think. And everyone's experience is really interesting and brings a perspective that especially in the conference format, I think it will bring a perspective that you're not used to seeing at a conference. Not to say that the kind of perspective of people who are super experienced and things like that as a developer, as a conference speaker, like that's obviously really useful. But it's also useful to see things from the perspective of someone who is like just getting into the industry. I think right. that being able to kind of amplify those voices is really interesting and exciting to me. So, and I'm sure there's probably ways that we could do this better in the future, but for now it's been just kind of like supporting them whenever they need it and trying to be encouraging. And then like any kind of small things like buying a mic or something like that, like we can provide that.
That's awesome. I mean, there's some trade-offs you're going to make always, right, with anything, but it's almost, I want to say better to give your first conference talk or one of your first conference talks in this way. I know I was really excited about it when I first heard about it because I get pretty nervous getting up in front of people, which I get to do at JSConf. I don't know how many people. It kind of gives me anxiety. But with ByteConf, it's pre-recorded. So I have the ability to go back and polish everything that I want and make okay. sure that like I can remove those ahs and ums and things that, oh, wait, that didn't quite flow right. Let me fix that real quick. Or, I didn't really like what I said there. I can go back and fix it. It does come with the added complexity of like, well, now I have to go cut it together and make sure that like there's this whole post-production aspect of it. But it makes me feel a lot better because I feel like I can deliver something that I feel really good about. And I know because I've watched it like 6 times and gone over it with a fine tooth comb, you know?
Right. One of the things that I'm hoping that we can do in the future is like in terms of the editing and stuff like that. So, you know, if someone feels comfortable, like really fine tuning their talk and stuff like that and giving almost like a finished product to us, and we're happy to obviously accept that. But, you know, for people who just don't have that ability or like need some help kind of refining, I don't want to say the quality of their talk, but just kind of the delivery of it, we can definitely help with that. And in terms of like, you know, refining, say you're going to give the talk again, like in your case, I think it's really interesting. Also, we're trying to coordinate as with as many of the speakers as we can, kind of like time zone permitting and things like that, you know, like having them in the, you know, quote unquote, attending the conference, you know, viewing the conference, and also like being available in the Twitch chat and kind Ooh. Of not necessarily having like a interview there, but, you know, maybe something comes up where someone's like, I don't get what this slide means or something like that. And that's both an opportunity for, we're not gonna like pause the talk or anything, but, you know, someone
right
can, the speaker can be there to clarify and kind of add that additional, I guess, dimension of understanding what's going on in the talk. I think it's actually really interesting. I'm really curious to see how that's gonna turn out.
I'm curious too, because I frequent Twitch sometimes, and a lot of it in most videos, like you mentioned before, you went to like some small conference and it was a very small chat. And a lot of Twitch for me is like interacting with the person that I'm watching, like through the chat. So that's interesting to me that they're pre-recorded, but the speakers are still going to be interacting through the chat. So that's going to be real cool to see.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Pretty excited about that.
Yeah, well, and I hope that you would be, you know, interested in being there, because I'm sure people will have questions about that kind of stuff. I've already talked to a couple of speakers, and I'm trying to kind of reach out individually and see how many people can be there for that. Because it's really interesting, and in your case, like, if there's enough people to say like, hey, this part kind of confused me or you lost me here, like that's an opportunity for you to refine the talk and get like really explicit timed feedback. You know, I think if someone came to you and after, say, your JS Conf talk and was like, you know, there's this part that I didn't really understand, like you don't have the kind of immediate understanding of like literally where, you know, like what point in the talk are they exactly talking about? And I think that'll be really interesting.
Bigger.
And I guess I would hope, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to do this. I think if you've ever been in Twitch chat before, like it can get a little rowdy. I'm trying to figure out the best way to manage that, because I have like literally zero tolerance for any kind of whatever kind of the most toxic of Twitch chat is. I have zero tolerance for that at the conference. I'm trying to figure out the best way to make that happen. But, you know, if you're a speaker, and especially if it's like your first time ever giving a talk or something like that, like if you get that kind of feedback, hopefully it's delivered in a way that doesn't suck, and we're going to try and mediate that as best we can. That's a great opportunity for really effective, you know, kind of improvement on your presentation style and stuff like that. So I'm really excited about that.
It's actually interesting to kind of think about is like what kind of trolls you might run into.
You're going to get people who are like, view is better.
Or any kind of cross trolling that might happen. That'd be interesting to see how that plays out and how like you might enforce that code of conduct.
We definitely do have a code of conduct. And in the Discord so far, like I'm happy that we haven't had to enforce that in any way, or there hasn't been anyone that has brought kind of the quality of the chat down. I know like I've seen people answering questions about different like open source projects and stuff like that. Even I think Robert, I think you like wrote up like a solution to someone's problem in like the TypeScript channel or something. Did I see that?
Yeah.
So like stuff like that is really cool.
Someone was asking how to do radio buttons in React. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just whip up a quick code sandbox example kind of showing this.
Yeah. So I think if I could pick like one long term goal of where I want to see the conference and like the community in like a year or two, it's I want to be able to scale that up to, you know, say like 10x, 100x the amount of people, but still keep that quality of conversation. I think that is really like looking at like producing a conference, like that part honestly isn't the most complicated part. It's, you know, if you can use Adobe Premiere, you can pretty much make a pre-recorded conference work. It's keeping that quality and making people feel like they are
a community
and that they feel, and especially for people who like know that they want to be a web developer, like they have, maybe they have no idea where to go or how to start, like people to can join, you know, the ByteConf community and feel like, you know, this is a good place. You can like call this place kind of home, I guess, online and learn in that way. So that's kind of the larger goal. The conference is, you know, just one aspect of getting there.
This is all very exciting. I'm looking forward to attending.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it as well. It's pretty wild that it's August and it's actually happening.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. It's going
to
be sweet.
Yeah, I'm like furiously working on my talk right now to try and get together. So the cool thing is, aside about that, like I'm talking about big tests, and Will is the person that's writing big tests. He's like the mastermind behind it. So it'd be great to have him in there and like answering any questions alongside with me, you know, as the talk goes on. I didn't even consider that before you said it. It's really powerful because we would be able to, I'm going to be introducing something that might be foreign to a lot of people, you know, like this testing style and how you do it in single page apps. So like there will be questions, and I know I won't be able to cover everything and hit all the bases and make sure that's like not confusing, because it is a complicated topic, but I'm going to do my best. But the added benefit of me being able to clarify things on the spot is kind of mind blowing to me right now.
It's huge. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to archive that kind of dimension of the conference. And I think it's going to be, I'm really interested to see tomorrow. We're doing a Ask Me Anything, but I'll plug that at the end. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see like what the kind of ratio, like signal to noise is in the chat. And, you know, if it's good, and especially at the conference itself, like if people are asking really good questions and that kind of stuff, and the speakers are responding, and that is a really valuable thing to try and save. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that as well, because I think that could be really, you know, even just taking like the most, like say the most requested questions, or maybe the most like detailed answers that the speakers have, and making that available in some way, I think would be really valuable to people.
Yeah, for sure.
Ooh, the other thing I just instantly thought of too, with all this being pre-recorded, you're able to schedule this out pretty well, right? Like at a normal conference, if somebody had a 45-minute slot and they finished in say 30, the conference organizers would then have to go and figure out what they're going to do with that spare time. But since it's all pre-recorded, you can just kind of slot it together and have a plan going forward.
Yeah. So I think most of the talks, I've kind of asked people to keep them around 45, 50 minutes, and we'll have some space between the talks for people to continue to ask questions in the chat, or I can plug things like the Discord server in those spaces. You know, sponsorship info, stuff like that. But I'm also constantly thinking of like these little, it really is like the format of the conference allows so many different little things to be tested. So one thing we're thinking about doing is, you know, there's going to be like at noon, there's going to be a break, kind of like a lunch break. But ideally, I need to start figuring this out, getting like some lightning talk style things from people, maybe people who submitted a talk and didn't get it accepted or something like that. It's and those are,
would those be live?
That's a good question.
Or pre-recorded.
It's a great question. I think the thing with live is that I would have to figure out how to get people to like you know, like hop onto the stream, and that might be possible, but I'm not quite sure. I think we'll probably do pre-recorded kind of across the board for this one. But yeah, there's all of these kind of these little opportunities to do interesting things with the format. One thing that I'll just take you on kind of a journey here of like where my mind goes when I think about stuff like this. Like over the last like year or two, this is going to seem like such a tangent, but I'm going to tie it up, I promise. Over the last year or two, actually longer, it's probably the last couple of years, I was really into like Anthony Bourdain and like all of his shows. And I was really interested in again, this is going to sound really bizarre, but I was interested in kind of taking that idea and applying it to like conferences. So like for, say, the keynote speakers, I was thinking like, hey, it would be kind of cool actually to like go meet them, you know, wherever they're working and stuff like that, and like kind of introduce them in that format and like maybe even sit down with them and do like an interview or like do some kind of like live coding with them and have that available as like kind of a bonus material to the conference itself. But maybe like air some of it in between talks, like as part of the preface for their talk. Like there's all these kind of interesting things. I think that like one thing that always has kind of bothered me about like the developer world is, I guess I always feel like it's really hard to visualize A, like how to get started, you know, as a developer, and then B, like what is the day in a life of a developer? Like, you know, what do you actually do? And like what, like, yeah, what, like what
not,
is a web
not
developer?
What people say it is.
Yeah, what does that mean? And so I think I've been really interested in this idea of like giving people like a holistic view of like how to get into this industry and to show people, at least in my opinion, like there is, I think, a lot of hype and maybe not intentional, but like kind of like it makes it seem a lot more difficult than maybe it really is. It takes a lot of time, but like there are a lot of people who I think probably have been, whether that's like, you know, like kind of the Steve Jobs worship of like tech people are like this other thing that we, and like we, no one can be like them unless you're like whatever, like if that makes sense. It's basically like people, everyone in this industry is just like a normal person. Like, I mean, maybe there are some crazy personalities out there who are like really kind of, you know, dominating or stuff like that, but like for the most part, and I think especially in the web developer world, like everyone is, I, for, at least in my perspective, like very welcoming and just like normal people. And I want to make that,
yeah.
I want the aspect of the community to be like letting people into that world and say like, this is not as impenetrable as you might think. And there's just a lot of different ways to do that.
Amplify the kindness and amplify the welcoming.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. So you did mention like around lunchtime, there would be a break, like at other conferences, right? They usually cater lunch. Is there anything offered for that, or is it like go in and find your own lunch?
that's actually a really interesting question. It'd be very, no, there isn't anything planned, but now I wonder if I should like find a company that's like, you know, like DoorDash? Is that grocery delivery? Is that restaurant delivery? You know what I'm talking about? Like
restaurant
Uber
delivery,
Eats,
yeah.
Or GrubHub or something like that. It'd be cool to like have like a coupon if you're like, if they're a React thing and they want to sponsor the conference. Yeah, that would be like an interesting, that's a
like
super
cover
cool
the
idea,
delivery right, fee.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
Yeah, I mean, even you might, I mean, it might be too late for that now since we're a couple weeks out, but
yeah,
some of those companies do use React, or in the future, for the future Byte Conf series, like if it's a Swift Conf, I know you've mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. You might be able to be like, hey, we're doing a Swift online conference. You guys use Swift. Do you want to sponsor?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think there is so many opportunities to do really cool things. That's a really cool idea. I haven't thought about that before.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down after we're done with this. That's a very cool idea. Yeah.
Could you tell I've been thinking about doing like a ByteConf accessibility conference? Cause I have.
That would be, yeah. Let's do it for real. That would be okay. Sweet. I think there's so many, cause like the format is so, we can tweak it in so many ways. You know, I've thought about doing even, so this is like a full day conference plan, but there's definitely the opportunity to do like really small form, like just like an evening or something like that, where you get a couple people together and like kind of the way that I kind of visualize it in the future is like there are like these longer conferences, but also it'd just be really neat to do like kind of continuous
online meetups essentially.
Yeah, like broadcasting. I don't want to say like a TV channel, but just like kind of this place, like, you know, we're going to be airing like new stuff that people are working on, and we're going to be airing like old talks from conferences and stuff like that, and giving people a space to like constantly be learning.
You could do like a weekly night or a nightly tech cast, you know, tonight in JavaScript news, there are 15 new frameworks.
Yeah. And well, the thing is like with Twitch, that becomes, and they've done a lot of tools recently that I've become kind of aware of as I'm trying to figure out the best way to broadcast the conference. Like they have a lot of stuff around like scheduling and stuff now that actually gives us the opportunity to basically like run, a night, maybe not nightly, but like weekly or monthly thing without having to explicitly like set up. I don't know if either of you have ever done like Twitch streaming, but you have like this broadcast software that you have to run on your computer and stuff mm-hmm. like that. They're working on tools to kind of remove that aspect of it and really just make it like almost, I think, like a YouTube competitor in some ways, maybe like a more live aspect. And that stuff is really interesting to me because that totally fits in with one thing, you know, kind of aspect of what we want to do. But, you know, there's all kinds of other opportunities too. Like I know there are kind of a growing number of people who are doing live programming streams, and it'd be really cool to be able to kind of share our audience with them, stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm trying to figure that out as well.
So one of our team members, I don't know, are you familiar with the Ember community at all?
I was familiar with the Ember community a couple years ago. It actually is what I learned before I learned React, but I think I'm pretty out of date now.
Gotcha. Yeah, so one of the team members here at the Frontside, Taras, he started something similar like that 2 years ago called Global Ember Meetup. And it was just an online meetup that would happen at night. And people would come on and give their talks, and it was actually really cool because there's a lot of engagement from all across the world, which was super neat. So like, I would love to see that idea to continue live on.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I know for our mailing list, we have kind of a sense of where people are located, and it's, you know, like this is kind of the nature of like advertising this stuff is I think most of our audience is still in the US and in, you know, Canada, UK and stuff like that. But there is growing numbers of places, you know, like Africa and like South America and stuff like that, where like I'm not as exposed to that community, but I would like to make it available to all those people, you know, that.
Right.
I haven't been exposed to those communities as much. And I would both like to understand like kind of the unique problems of being a web developer in those areas, and also do my best to adapt the format of the conference and stuff to those groups. I imagine that, you know, people are really excited about it, but I think after the conference is really when a lot of the kind of the interesting stuff happens, because then we can take a look back and say like, what could we have done better to include, you know, all kinds of groups that are, you know, historically kind of disenfranchised from attending this kind of stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because I mean, even for me, I really want to go to some conferences that are in Europe, but that's a big investment.
Yeah.
So like breaking down those barriers for even somebody that's not even like, I'm pretty privileged in that regard.
Right.
But like for somebody that isn't, like even just attending a conference inside the States or somewhere that's even kind of close to them, just the price of the conference ticket puts them out. So I'm really excited about this, this idea. Why not leverage the web and make everybody available to learn right. this content and have access to that community?
Yeah, awesome. And I think I actually saw I think that Facebook just announced they're doing another React conference, and it was interesting. I think speaking of like ticket prices, I think it was a lot of people were saying it was super expensive. I don't know what the exact number was. Maybe one of you know, but I actually had some people tweet like, this is why I'm excited for ByteConf. And I was like, what? I was like, what? <That's awesome. laughs> This is wild.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't know what their price is, but when Facebook throws ReactConf, you have to enter into a lottery. Like, you don't even actually get a chance to buy a ticket. You have to enter a chance into winning a ticket for you to buy.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of stuff. I mean, I won't get too deep into like my politics generally, but just like generally, like that's the kind of thing that I am extremely allergic to, is even the idea of like having a lottery and stuff like that. Like there is a lot of people who, to make the decision, say they have the opportunity to attend the conference, like, you know, if they say they get like a lottery email and they're like, hey, you have a ticket. Like there's some people that will be able to swing that like on the spot and say like, yep, I'm going to buy a ticket and I still have to book my flights and stuff or whatever. But there's a lot of people who like, that's going to be a thing they need to plan for a really long time, right? They don't have the opportunity to like to wait on the email and say like, yes, I can go to this, whatever. Yeah. Like it's a different dimension of like kind of financial, like, and I think like the ticket was like $600 or something, maybe $700. So like it was expensive, and but there are much more expensive conferences, you know, like I think that it's when it, especially like if you don't work at a company that covers your conference costs, like I'm fortunate to, I think both the main, like the both places I've been at for a longer period of time, like say, you know, 2+ years, have both sponsored conferences, or like, you know, allowed any of their employees to go to conferences with like some budget in the thousands of dollars, right, every year. And that's, I mean, that's for someone to pay that, say they want to get into web development, that's a huge financial burden if you're working, you know, like minimum wage or something like that. And so I'm not, I feel like it sounds like I just came down very hard on the React conference, but like it's, and it's fine. Like it's cool that that's, no, I'm sure they're going to get really cool speakers and stuff like that. But I think it's
the juxtaposition of like online only versus co-located, right? There's costs there.
Yeah. And I think even, we talked about earlier, like maybe there's a hybrid approach of like doing ByteConf physically. I think the one kind of thing I will never compromise on in terms of how we put on the conferences is like, if we're going to do a physical thing, it needs to still be available for people who can't attend it. And like, I think even at this point, the first conference hasn't quite happened yet, but I do kind of strongly believe that's already in the DNA of kind of the idea, and like the kind of ideals of the conference is I want to allow people to always attend whatever we're doing, regardless of their situation.
Yeah, that's huge. Like, I never attended a conference until last year when the company I'm currently working for, Frontside, paid for it. So like before this, I had never been to a conference. So it's awesome to see that there are like free stuff out there now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the conference that I talked about earlier, the San Francisco one, like I just straight up like put that on a credit card. Like I could not afford it. And I did it because I was like, this, I guess I felt like it was something that I wanted to do. Yeah, exactly. But there are people who like just straight up can't do that. I was like by that point I was like interning at a web development place, but I still was basically getting paid like minimum wage. I was like underpaid. But like I did it because I felt like it would be an investment, and I guess I mean I didn't actually get a job from anyone at that conference or anything like that. So who can say like what the actual value of that was, but it was important kind of in a motivational way, I guess. But I don't ever want people to like go into debt to go to ByteConf. Like that sucks. There's no way to allow someone to do that.
Cause you don't even have to, it's not even only the conference ticket, right? Which is usually, I mean, depending on what conference you're going to, it could be, I don't know, I've seen it as low as $150 and as high as $2,000 just for the conference ticket. Then you have to, you know, get your hotel for a week and fly out there and food. So, you know, it quickly turns into a really expensive endeavor.
Yeah, I mean, it is in a lot of ways. Like, I think people who are fortunate in tech, it is somewhat of a vacation because you get to go somewhere. Usually the tech conferences, I think, are held in like pretty cool locations, you know, unless it's kind of some kind of indie conf that doesn't have a lot of sponsorships or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I went to a conference a couple of years ago that was at Disney World, and it was like very much a vacation, you know, like I went to the conference and I had a lot of fun. It was an Elixir conference. I learned a lot of stuff there, but then like after the conference was done, I went to like, I'm trying to think what it's called. It's like Downtown Disney basically or whatever. So like I went.
Yeah, they renamed it too.
Really? Disney Springs. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I lived in Orlando for 2 years.
Actually, that does sound right. I mean, coming from LA, like I used to go to Disneyland all the time. Like that's, you know, it's that same kind of like, even if the conference is just in like a hotel or whatever, like usually the area around it is pretty nice. So yeah, it's, but that definitely limits a lot of people unless you're fortunate enough to be making a tech salary or, you know, have a company that will cover that conference budget
like
for you.
We're sending two people to JSConf Hawaii. So we were able to snag the early bird tickets, which are so much cheaper. But then I was shocked at the hotel cost on Waikiki Beach. It was cheaper than my Portland hotel. So I'm actually super jealous that they're getting this like super awesome vacation on the beach in Hawaii.
Right.
For less than what it probably took for me to get to Portland.
is that where JS Conf is? Is it just in Portland?
That's JS Conf Hawaii.
Portland was
Chain React. So shout out Infinite Red for putting that on. It's a React Native conference.
Yeah.
And then the JS Conf US one is in San Diego, which is coming up in 2 weeks. Oh my God.
Nice. And there's people, like, if you are a conference speaker and stuff, like, I think you get some stuff covered. I don't know, every conference is different or whatever. So if you go in that format, like if you go to conferences as a speaker, I think it's a little bit different situation. But I can think of a lot of times, like, I've looked at a conference and there's been like a couple talks that I found interesting, but it was just like the amount of money that I would spend to see like one or two talks that really interested me. It wasn't worth it.
Well, I mean, at least ByteConf kind of sheds that and like absolutely drops the barrier of entry to almost nothing, right? I mean, nothing being you have to have an internet connection.
There's still a couple things. I mean, this is why I'm trying to do like the rebroadcasting and making it available after the fact is, you know, there's some people who still just can't sit, they can't take a day off and watch a full whatever 7-8 hour conference, so it's important to make it available after the fact too. But there are people, I mean, I think I mentioned I want to sell the conference talks with like the slides and with the bonus materials and stuff after the fact. You know, there's people that are actual like practicing React developers who, you know, would feel fine paying like $30 for those or something, and that way we can hopefully, ideally, I hope I'm not like totally speaking out of like this may totally go wrong, but ideally like pay the speakers to some degree. That's another kind of aspect of it that I eventually would like to do well in the future. But like you said, lowering the barrier to entry to like literally as close to zero as we can get is what's really important to me. And then I feel like everything else we can work back up to something, you know, putting on the really kind of big conference events that a lot of other people are doing, but still keep those kind of ideals that we had from the first place.
I love it. Well, cool. The ByteConf sounds super awesome. I'm very excited to be selected to be a part of it. So I really appreciate that. Is there anything else that you want to plug about ByteConf?
Yeah. So a couple of things. So tomorrow, I guess, depending on when this comes out, August 10th, at 5 p.m. PST, we have our first Ask Me Anything with Kyle Shevlin, who is a speaker at ByteConf React this year. So it's just going to be twitch.tv/ByteConf. If you're on the mailing list or you're in the Discord server, stuff like that, you will, you probably already know about this, but I will obviously tweet about it as well. A couple of other things. So the 24th of August, we're actually doing, this hasn't been announced yet. This is the first time I'm talking about it. We got to Ask Me Anything with Kent C. Dodds, one of our keynote speakers. I'm very excited about that. That hasn't been announced yet, but I imagine that's going to get, it's going to be really cool. I think people are going to be very into that. And finally, of course, the conference itself. ByteConf React is August 31st. It's one day. It starts at 9 a.m. PST. You should join the mailing list and follow us on Twitter. So it's just at ByteConf. You'll see a link to the mailing list there as well. And you'll get some more information there. But it starts at 9 a.m. It's just, you know, on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/ByteConf. That's all you need to do to attend. I would love for people to follow us on Twitter and join the mailing list, but if you are allergic to following new people on Twitter or getting emails, that you don't have to do any of that. You can just find us that day on Twitch. We have some more things that we're probably going to announce as kind of pre-conference events in between now and then, but those are kind of the two, or I guess three main things. Thank you for having me on. It's been really awesome. This I think is actually maybe the first time I've talked about kind of the bigger picture stuff with the conference. So it's been really cool to get to talk about that. And I'm excited for your talk as well. I think it's going to be really neat.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on. Like I said, I'm really excited for ByteConf. And when I saw this pop up as an idea, I was all over it.
Sweet.
I think I actually submitted to the CFP before you officially announced that there was a CFP. I just like found the link and I was like, I'm in it. I'm going for it.
But yeah, actually, one more thing I think I didn't mention just kind of organically is that all of the CFP submissions were actually reviewed by people in the community. So I'm really proud to say like the talks that got selected, including Robert's, were like genuinely because people were just super interested in them. And I think that's going to really kind of show when we air the conference, people are going to be really excited about this stuff. It's going to be super cool. I'm beyond hyped. I'm extremely nervous, extremely hyped. It's going to be great.
I also want to say that if you have an Amazon Prime account, you get a free Twitch subscription. So you can go ahead and subscribe to ByteConf on Twitch.
Yes, that is very true. I should do a better job of plugging that. Oh, one more thing. I guess I should be a good podcast guest and also say, like, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my name is Christian Freeman. It's at I'm KMF on Twitter. For the most part, I just tweet about ByteConf stuff and Product Hunt stuff, and then get mad about politics sometimes. But I should do a better job of plugging my stuff. But yeah, again, thank you for having me on. This has been really, really great. And I'm looking forward to seeing you both at the conference.
Cool. Well, thank you, Christian. This was a great conversation. I'm really excited about it. So we are the Front Side. We build software that you can stake your future on. If your team needs any help with single page app testing, accessibility, especially in single page apps, I'm really, really open to helping anybody. If you or your team needs help in that or leveling up, be sure to reach out. We're open to pair. We're open to start a new engagement. Anything that kind of helps you and your team move forward, we're super interested in. And as always, you can reach out to us at info@frontside.io for any feedback on the podcast. And thank you, Mandy, for producing our podcast. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Yep. Thanks, guys. See you at ByteConf.